What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. And we're going to go right back to the phones here to Milton in Pennsylvania. And Milton, aloha. Welcome to the show. Thank you for waiting so patiently. What's on your mind?
Okay, Mike, in investing, and I'm a real idiot when it comes to the knowledge on silver and gold. I almost went down and bought bulk silver this weekend, but I got cold feet because I was wondering, well, after I get this, what do I do with it? You know, and I didn't want to do gold because my logic thinking is, well, if I want a loaf of bread, I'm not going to give you a gold piece that's worth, you know, so much money. But with bulk silver, I could give you a dime and maybe get me a loaf of bread or a bologna sandwich. What would you say?
Well, generally, yes. If you're talking about stockpiling coinage for the event of an economic collapse, then yes, definitely you want to look at what's called the junk silver, which are those pre-1964 coins that have no numismatic value, but they have the melt value of the silver inside the quarters and the dimes, the nickel in the nickel and the copper in the penny. And those are a recognizable unit of uniform exchange. And that's a good way to go. And to be prudent, what you want to do is, you know, check what the, you know, current price of silver is and look very carefully at what you're buying. Make sure that you're not paying too much of an uplift. You're going to pay a little bit, you know, of an uplift, but it's a good way of having a medium of exchange that will survive the collapse of the paper dollar. The reason for having gold is much more long-term in its wealth preservation, and it assumes that on the far side of an economic collapse, there's going to be somebody who will buy that gold from you for whatever currency is in circulation at the time. But for preppers, I definitely recommend that junk silver. You can get it on all kinds of websites, including eBay. Like I said, it's a recognizable unit of exchange. Everybody knows what a quarter and a dime looks like, and as long as the date on the coin is early enough, they'll know it represents real silver and real value.
Okay, one other fast question, okay? Should you buy this stuff and try not to leave a paper trail?
Probably the less paper trail that you leave is going to be the better, because in the event of an economic crash, you can count on the U.S. government just trying to grab everything that's out there. Remember, Roosevelt grabbed all the gold back in, I think it was 1933. So, you don't want to do this at like flea markets, because there's a lot of fraud out there. There's a lot of counterfeit silver coins that are out there. And so you need to go to a reputable dealer, pay cash, get a receipt. If you're not that worried about being spied on, you can go, like I said, you can go through eBay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I just wanted, then the best thing to do is just hang on to that. And when the country comes back and there's a worth of bills, then you could trade it in for value of real money. Yes.
Well, you can do whatever you want with it, but yeah, you just grab it, you put it someplace that's going to be cool and dry, because silver does tarnish. I mean, the silver coins have metals other than silver in them for durability, but everybody understands that there is real silver inside those coins, and they're a unit of recognized value. But yeah, you just grab it, you put it in wherever it is you're storing your prepper supplies, someplace safe. You don't tell anybody that you've got it. Because the first rule of prepping is you don't talk about prepping, because it makes you a target when things start coming apart.
Okay, Mike, that makes me feel better, because, like I said, I was going to buy some, and I got cold feet, but I feel a little bit better about it now. And I wish you and Claire the best, so we meet again.
Thank you very much here. You know, the good thing about junk silver is you don't have to buy a lot. Just buy what you're comfortable with, you know, wait a few weeks, buy a little bit more if you're comfortable with. And, you know, the ultimate reality is you're going to be able to turn around and resell it if you need to get your cash back. It's not like you're just throwing the money away into a hole someplace. Anyway, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. And Boy, the phone lines are loaded up. We're going to switch to Layla in Ontario. Aloha, Layla. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Michael. Sorry I'm calling in today, but I just want to present a couple of problems. I would say the first thing that people have to do is get together with a colony of people so that they can defend themselves. Assuming yep. that even if you buy silver, remember the old-time movies where when somebody gave them a coin, the guy would bite it? Because very often everything is only plated. I remember buying a Dunhill cigarette lighter in Europe with all kinds of documentation that it was 22 karat gold. Well, when I tried to sell it to Burke's, which is a great jeweler, he said, this is only gold plated. It's worth nothing. My brother, who was...
Okay, I'd like to back up a little bit, Layla. Okay, that image of people biting a gold coin is because a pure 24 karat gold coin is soft enough where your teeth will leave marks in it. That's where that comes from.
That's my point. So what I'm saying is that whatever looks like it's silver could be a very thin covering, and it's just rot. It's just common metal on the inside. We don't really know. And furthermore, even if somebody had assurances that the silver or the gold that they bought is largely majority silver or gold, who are you going to sell it to? What is the value of it? What do you exchange it for? It's not like it, in the old days when that was a means of exchange and there was a way to measure it by grams. Those days are gone. And the other thing you do is once you produce one piece of silver that's worth, or gold that's worth anything, you leave yourself wide open for attack. So all of these people who are talking about farmsteads with huge acreage, that means that you've got a lot of exposure all around wherever you're living. What people need to do is get together in terms of compounds, communal living. It used to be extended families. That's why tribes used to live together. And no matter how much food that you have, eventually it's going to go rotten. And the other thing, too, is once people know you have a storage of food, if there's a shortage, once again, you're vulnerable to attack. Now, one thing that nobody likes to talk about is what used to happen in the ancient past, cannibalism. When food mm-hmm. actually runs out, and their pets and people and their cows and other cattle have been stolen, then they become... The advantage of cannibalism is not only do you find food to eat, but you also eliminate a rival for food. So one yep. of the most important things is learning how to defend yourself. If you don't know how to use guns and rifles, learn now while you still can. Find people that you trust, because extended families no longer have the kinds of loyalties or bonds that we used to have. So you're going to have to find friends that you can trust and who will be able to defend one another. And you've got to get together in colonies.
Well, what you need to do, if you live in an urban environment or suburban, as Claire and I do, is now's the time to start networking with your neighbors. You know, pull back from the social media, pull back from the TVs and all the computational devices. Go on out and just actually interact with your neighbors, because they will be your support group when things get really, really tough. And you learn what each other's skills are. You know, who can fix wiring, who can fix the plumbing, who is capable of acting as a guard. Who's willing to pull the trigger on an invader and so forth and so on. But you're absolutely right. Anybody who's prepping, you do have to look at the reality that if the fact that you're a prepper does get out, you have become a target. And you need to be ready and willing to defend yourself with either a firearm or maybe even a hunting bow, just whatever it takes. That is a reality. The rest of the community, yeah. You're a target. No question right. about that.
Yeah. The other thing is, the most important thing is that people will have to do, assuming we remain somewhat civilized and don't resort to the worst kind of violence, is we have to go back to bartering. You grow something, somebody else has some textiles that you need for clothing, you exchange that. That's the kind of thing that will work, because there's no other way to measure the value of something that may or may not be all silver or all gold. I'm calling in tomorrow, so I don't want to take up any more time. But the most important thing, and talk about neighbors. Actually, neighbors are probably the worst people to make alliances with in our modern society. My experience has been that neighbors know your weaknesses, and they may not be the ones you can rely on. What you have to have is friends that you've known for many, many years, possibly even decades, and then know that you can trust them to turn your back on them. Because the other thing, too, is once you form colonies and food starts to run out, the ones within the colonies may be the first to stab you in the back so that there's more food for them. So we're facing, if indeed there is a collapse of all the systems that we currently have, and the possibility is very real, the most important thing is learning who you can trust and how to defend yourself and how to grow your own food and learn how to barter. And I think I've said more than enough for today.
All right. Well, thanks an awful lot for the phone call. We're going to let you go here. I don't think the coming collapse is going to get that bad. Okay, so we're going to do a shout out now from our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network, and we're going to take another phone call from Danny in Tennessee. Aloha, Danny. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, just thinking about the talk about the social media banning and shadow banning and things. Idea
yes.
I had for combating it is to start reporting it as an illegal campaign contribution, like to a party that would be benefiting from it, or some particular election side that would be benefiting from it, because, like you said, it is political. So what would the one who's benefiting from it have to pay to put somebody out there to combat it? And so since if they're not paying somehow, then they're making a contribution to that side of things.
That's an interesting point, and obviously the place to start with that would be the Federal Elections Commission. But so far, like so many of our other government agencies, they've been rather lax about actually enforcing the rules. We certainly saw that again back in 2016.
Well, yeah, that could be, but at least you can put it on them and then complain about their inactivity. But, you know, if they're out there, nothing's
complaining. Well, we are complaining.
We're
raising a fuss about it.
So just, start getting things on record and probably do letters into them so they have a piece of paper to deal with.
Okay.
All right. That's all.
Thanks an awful lot for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Edward in Las Vegas. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Do you follow H.A. Goodman or Lee Stranahan at all?
No.
Shoot, they would be great on the show. They uncover a lot of amazing stuff, but okay, let me move on. As far as censorship goes, what really happened? Do you use like BitChute or anything in case they do try to shut it down?
I'm presently looking at alternatives so that I can get my video streaming back out there if YouTube shuts it down. As far as Twitter and Facebook are concerned, I could care less because I stopped using them months and months ago. So they could shut off my account. It's going to have zero effect on my operation here. Most of my traffic brought to whatreallyhappened.com is coming word of mouth and emails from people just saying, hey, you got to look at this.
Right. And then have you noticed, you know how the excuse is always like, well, just go build your own Twitter or just go build your own YouTube. And then what ultimately happens is that as soon as they maybe criticize Israel a little too much, you notice it just always happens to they lose their merchant processor. You notice that? Like MasterCard stops taking payments, or Gab, or BitChute, and they keep losing their processors. So it's like
that's very alarming. Now that we have credit card companies that are getting into this idea of censoring public speech as well. That is, in fact, very alarming. We know that PayPal has shut off several accounts now. for violating community standards. They did it to us once many, many years ago, and they turned us back on when we blew the whistle that PayPal was the preferred payment service for porn sites, including one that was a child porn site. Now, they've spun that business off into a separate company, but you know, it was a little hypocritical of them. But it is very alarming to see companies that are supposed to be engaged in things like, you know, payment processing, credit cards, all of a sudden they're using their position and their power to say, we're going to decide what you can talk about and what you can't.
Well, yeah, not only that, but I mean, you know, so ultimately they have the final say because they just have that financial bottleneck. And unless, you know, the very few people use Bitcoin, but unless everyone goes crypto, they always have that final kill switch. Now, Alex Jones, I mean, what was the trigger that got him banned? He doesn't talk about, he'll talk about, I don't know, China. It was China's trying to shut him down. It's like, there's not a lot of Zionist Chinese out there, but what did he say that got him banned? I mean, Sandy Hook took...
I actually, to be honest, do not know. I don't really watch a lot of Prison Planet or InfoWars, and in all the reporting about his deplatforming, they aren't specific. They simply say he violated the community standards, which is kind of a boilerplate response. I know that sometimes Alex can get a little bit out there and extreme, but again, as a supporter of the First Amendment, I may not agree with what Alex Jones is saying, but I'm going to defend his right to say it, as I would defend anybody's right to their opinion, as long as it is expressed peacefully, civilly, and respectfully. I don't think that Antifa grabbing a pipe and pounding on somebody is protected by that First Amendment.
Right. And who ultimately do you think is pulling the strings here? Is it the deep state is saying, like, hey, MasterCard, if you don't do this, we're going to audit you for the next, you know, going 5 years back or something? Or do you think it's like the certain people in the banking industry that, you know, are doing that? Or are they controlling the deep state ultimately? Like, who is running this?
Well, given the rapidity and the widespread attack that happened, it looks like there was some backroom discussions among various players, including corporations and the government itself and the financial players, and said, we've got to get rid of that independent media. We've got to get rid of the open internet because people are starting to wake up and realize how they're being abused. And so I think it really was kind of a consensus opinion within all this various groups, and they just decided to launch, and they wanted to make an example of Alex Jones. I have noticed, however, in the last few days that the deplatforming seems to be sort of slowing down, and it may be that the people who wanted to ban Alex Jones weren't expecting the public outcry that happened. And as you know, we had callers into the show that were trying to basically smear Alex Jones and make him seem unsympathetic on the idea that, oh, well, you know, we don't like Alex Jones, so it's okay if he gets deplatformed. And I don't think the people behind this were expecting that the reaction was, you know, I don't like Alex Jones, but First Amendment has to prevail here. And at some point, I think there probably is going to be a lawsuit on this that may have to go all the way to the Supreme Court. But the First Amendment, that right to freedom of speech, that right to peacefully assemble, to discuss what's going on, and petition the government for redress of grievances, that's an absolute right acknowledged by the First Amendment. It's not granted by the government. It's recognized by the government. The government doesn't give us any rights. It merely acknowledges the ones we are born with. Anyway, we've got to let you go now. We've got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be back with more phone calls after these few words.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And boy, do we have a lot of callers today here. And we're going to start with Dave in Delaware, which you did call earlier, but you had something else you wanted to add.
Yeah, I wanted to add, why did you cut me off? I thought you were going to hold me over to the break.
I'm sorry, I had so many callers, I really wanted to get to the rest of them, but go ahead and just say what you wanted to say.
Okay, what do you think about the ADL, though? Like, who runs it?
Well, the Anti-Defamation League, you know, has been around for a very long time, and their stated goal is to prevent anybody from saying anything bad about any Jewish people, regardless of what they do.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like an anti-bullying campaign. Did you see how Melania Trump was out there on the internet today? Like her whole hate speech and, you know, anti-bullying campaign?
Okay, anti-what campaign now? I'm not familiar with the phrase.
Melania Trump, she was out, like her whole cyber-bullying campaign. Like that's what she was
bullying.
Out there promoting.
Okay, yeah. Well,
you don't think that has anything to do with like censorship or anything that like Trump's the one that's like shutting all this stuff down?
No, I don't think Trump is shutting it down. I wish he would take a little more interest in what's going on here because it was the independent media
How is Trump going to take more interest? Like you wish that Trump would take more interest in this stuff. I mean, what is he, Hannity? He's like, he's going to talk to, is he Alex Jones? He's going to talk to him every night? Like,
well, here, the anti-bullying part, as you know, there's already a bill being proposed in Congress that would mandate government control of the internet. And they would regulate it, basically saying that anybody who's putting content onto the web would require a government license.
Yeah.
Like you today, yeah, with radio and TV, you have to have an FCC license. And obviously, simply by withholding those licenses from conservative groups, they could turn the entire internet into a liberal propaganda machine.
Yeah, but during the elections, Trump always talked about how he was going to shut down the internet because of like ISIS infiltrations and shit. He was going to, like, excuse my language, he was going to censor everything because of ISIS. Like, so during Trump now, everything's getting shut down, right? And then, like, supposedly it's, you know, some big right, like, leftist conspiracy and all this stuff. Trump talked about it during the elections. He said he was going to shut down the internet. And
look, I mean, use your common sense. Dave, use your common sense. If Trump were behind this, it would be the liberal people who were being deplatformed. And that's simply not happening. This is clearly biased against conservatives,
no,
against the GOP, against Republicans.
No, you're buying into the left-right false paradigm. You're picking sides and
Dave,
all that stuff.
Dave, you're coming in here trying to push a specific idea, but you're not listening to reason. And that is that the available facts, the available facts do not support your premise, which is that Trump is somehow behind this. Because if Trump were behind it, we would see liberal independent media being shut down. And they're not. They're absolutely not. Trump, you know, if
Trump
shuts this down, if Trump, Dave, let me take a comment here. If Trump allows the independent media, especially the conservative independent media, to be shut down, then he's a one-term president. He's cutting his own throat, and he's not going to do that. He's too egotistical for that. So, as I said, the available facts do not support your thesis.
You're going to vote for Trump again? The SPLC and the ADL are not run by the Chi-Coms, like Alex Jones says. I'm just saying, you think that Trump is like some mega, like he's going to change all this stuff? What's he doing? He's not doing anything. Where's Hillary?
I agree. He's a disappointment. I agree he's a disappointment. And in 2020, the only way I'll support Donald Trump is if Hillary runs again. And if the Democrats come up with a decent candidate, and I'm pushing for Tulsi Gabbard. I don't agree with her on the Second Amendment.
Tulsi Gabbard is anti-Second Amendment.
I just said that, okay? I don't agree with her on the Second
Amendment. I listen to you all the time. I'm telling you, Mike, that if all this censorship came into power under Trump, so how could you,
No, this is not Trump doing this. It doesn't line up. If Trump were behind this, it would be the liberal. It would be the liberal independent. Okay, Dave, okay, we're going to let you go here because you don't want to have a discussion. You're here to push an idea. But as I said, the available facts do not line up with this thesis. If Trump were behind this attempt to shut down the independent media, and I can't imagine why he would do that. Shutting down ISIS, yes, but the independent media isn't ISIS. I'm not ISIS. I'm not a terrorist. I'm annoying, obnoxious, and overbearing, but I'm not a terrorist. But the independent media is the reason he's sitting in that Oval Office, and he has to know that. If Trump were actually the author of this attack on the independent media, it would be on the liberal independent media. You got to start with the available facts and work forward from there. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials. We've got more callers waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354, or visit MIG911.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And before we go back to the phone lines here, one of our members just posted this article over at whatreallyhappened.com. Apparently, somebody has leaked a memo. It's a 49-page memo, and it was basically presented in January 2017 by Media Matters founder David Brock at a retreat in Florida with about 100 donors. Now, Media Matters is funded largely by George Soros. And basically, the memo spells out this agenda of working with Google and Facebook to eliminate conservative points of view from the independent media as part of a larger plan to take power back from the Trump administration. So there's where this is all coming from. All right, let's get back to the phones here to Francis in North Carolina. Aloha, Francis. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, aloha to you both.
Aloha.
Just a quick political thought for you. Dare I even touch this with a 10-foot pole or whatever you want to call it? He is a businessman, and they know, and the so-called people in charge, or whatever have you, terminology ad nauseum, know that his head is dealing with business and so forth, and the art of the deal and so forth. So they know how to manipulate him one way or the other, even though he may not think he's being manipulated, or even contemplated for that matter. But enough said about that deal. I'll let your imagination go with that one. Now, as far as the metals are concerned, as far as coinage is concerned, which is what I originally was calling about, not just your noble metals, such as silver and gold, do well as far as a bartering item is concerned, as far as currency goes, as far as coinage is related to that. But people really should keep in mind that non-noble metals also have a value, too, i.e. Brass, copper, and nickel. Zinc is not a great big deal. I mean, it's almost considered almost junk metal, but still it has its own properties for that matter. But even with that, if someone has copper wire or brass wire and being bartered for something else of similar or greater value or whatever, someone can use that wire for a multitude of purposes that are helpful around the house, the farm, whatever have you. Saying that silver and gold are the only valuable metals is kind of short-sighted. I hate to say that.
That's not what we were saying. What we were talking about is that the junk silver is a recognized uniform unit of exchange. Now, obviously, if two people have something that the other one wants, they can do a direct barter. And I would add to your list of metals to keep on hand a supply of iron, because you know there's always going to be a need for raw material with which to build things or make repairs. And so actually having some iron on hand or steel is probably going to be a good idea. The question is, where do you store it all?
Well, for one thing, most people, when they see such a metal, well, it depends on what the person's abode is like, whether they live in an apartment or a house out in the country or whatever, or in a suburban area. They have to contend with various guidelines about as far as their housing goes, what's allowed, what's not allowed, as far as living codes are concerned.
We're in a very small place, and that's made our prepping, you know, especially difficult. We only have a little tiny piece of land out back, and we're actually forbidden to have food plants out there. I'm sneaking. There are some first with all the decorative plants. But, in fact, Claire and I have been discussing, we might actually have to get a storage locker someplace that we could get to in the event of a power failure to have some of our survival supplies in. We haven't moved forward on that idea.
As far as you're mentioning about how to store something like iron or steel or whatever have you, depending on what form or what shape it's in or length thereof, if it's like a whatever it might be, they can be used as creating shelving fixture until the needed purpose of it being otherwise dictated. So it can actually be used for doing additional storage, for that matter, depending on how you maneuver it. But
kinds of creative ways of handling this problem.
Thank you. Thank you. That's where I was heading to. It depends on how creative the person is and how they want to maneuver that. Because, I mean, you can take a stack of boxes, or depending on what size they are, and that's used for moving or whatever, and turn it into a blooming table. Take a sheet, no problem. You got it made, or a tablecloth, until you get a regular table set in place. So, and you can still store stuff in it. So, anyway, enough out of me. Later.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go and switch over to Mark in North Carolina. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Mike? I just wanted to let you know, and also the audience, I talked to Wolfgang Halbig again today.
Good.
He's got something big, big coming up. By the way, what made me decide to call him is I was driving late again last night, and I was listening Coast to Coast, and Alex Jones is on with Nori, and he was, you know, flip-flopping all over the place about Sandy Hoax, and Nori was talking like he's all, you know, high and mighty about, you know, how dare they talk about, you know, those parents, so-called parents. And by the way, the guy he fired, the guy he stabbed in the back, really, and fired, John D. Wells, is one of Wolfgang's biggest supporters. I'm talking monetary. And he's, and anyway, but what Wolfgang told me, and I heard this before because he had put it on Facebook also. I didn't quite understand exactly what he did. He has not got the nuclear bomb. He's got the nuclear bomb for this whole thing. What he's got is the food that was ordered. There was nothing that went to that school. He said he tracked it from September right to December 14th when it supposedly happened. And nothing. Yes. He's got records. He's got written records. And he's got tapes talking to some of these people there. So anybody tries any other shenanigans. And once he drops that bomb, that's it. Ball game is over. He said, forget, you don't even have to go through all the other stuff about what the police procedures, how crazy it was, who Adam Lanz is, whether he even existed or whatever else he had. He's got this thing. He says, that's it. He drops that, it's over. Now, he's trying to get it into federal court right now. I think hopefully he will be able to get it into federal court rather than the state of Connecticut. Now, as far as Alex Jones goes, he says he's not even, his lawyers aren't even communicating with him. That's a big mistake. Jones is running away from this. I don't think it's because he's controlled opposition. I think that's kind of silly. I think what it is, he's scared. He's now under so much attack that he will now abandon the very people that really made him famous. I remember I got to know who Wolfgang Halbig is at first, listening to Alex Jones. And Halbig made it clear the first 10 days, he thought this thing was legitimate. He even sent money to them. He thought this really happened. And he just made some mistakes, and he wrote to them about, whether he could help, because he's one of the top school safety experts in the country. He actually, believe it or not, he was in your show already. He actually set up the security system at that school that got hit there in Broward County in Florida.
Yes.
I mean, he's heavy duty. He's not just some, Johnny-come-lately. People talk, he was a peace officer for 2 or 3 years. That was his start of his career. He's been an educator most of that time, an educator, including a school administrator, a principal, and at the same time, he got into the school safety aspect. The man is dogged. He's determined. The man is a hero. He's an American hero. And by the way, he puts his phone number out. I'm not going to put it on. He probably wouldn't mind if I put it out. He said I could even put it on Facebook if I want. He puts his number out, his own personal number, and people call him. People are surprised when they call and they actually talking to him. He's not a rich guy. He doesn't have a big studio. He doesn't have nothing. Okay, he's retired. He's a retired school teacher, basically. He's not even able to make it, he used to make make extra money doing his school safety. Obviously, nobody's consulting him anymore for that. And the guy is, but the guy's a hero. And he's doing it on, honestly, he's doing it on, I've contributed some money. I'm going to start contributing some more money to him because this guy is a hero and he needs our support. He needs everybody's support. I think it's a damn shame that Alex Jones and InfoWars are cutting him off. As a matter of fact, Jones should be helping support him, just like John B. Wells, who's nowhere near.
Well, Alex Jones has been sued for defamation, and his best defense is Wolfgang Halbig. And what Wolfgang knows. So I can't understand why Alex Jones would cut him off. That's a very imprudent move to make unless some kind of a deal has been in the offering.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. I mean, he's got, if this trial ends the way I think it will end, and I don't see how they can get out of it, once he brings that evidence in about the food, and he said he's asking for a jury too. He wants to make sure he's got a jury.
They do have a jury.
Yeah, that's right. And that's, of course, good because, and once that comes in, the school was not a functioning school. It was a drill that they made to look like it actually happened. The kids were not, those kids were mostly grown already or much older. They weren't, they weren't victims of the attack or anything.
Yeah.
And most of these people were actors, like Leonard Posner. By the way, Leonard Posner didn't show up for one trial with Wolfgang. He sued Wolfgang and didn't show up for the trial. Of course he didn't show up for the trial. He would have been.
Well, they made a request under discovery for documentation proving that he'd been a resident of the community at the time the shooting happened, and Posner couldn't come up with that. Anyway, listen, Mark, we have gone over this many, many times, and I agree with you about Wolfgang Halbig, obviously. Issues like Sandy Hook or the Boston Marathon bombing are one of the reasons they want the independent media to go away, because every time they do one of these false flags, we rip it apart in shreds. Because of the independent media, you can clock the life expectancy of a government lie with an egg timer these days. Anyway, but I've got other callers to get to. I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much for the phone call and the update.
Could you invite him back on?
Real quick. Make it quick. Make it quick. Yeah.
Could you invite Wolfgang back on?
Yeah, I'll get him back on the show.
Great. Awesome. All right, Mike, take it easy.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Jim in Chicago. Jim, welcome to the show. Thank you for waiting so patiently, and what's on your mind?
No problem, Michael. Less than an hour ago, Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's former attorney, told a federal judge that he and Donald Trump both knew that it was illegal to use campaign funds to pay off Stormy Daniels and the other young lady. So this tells me that Michael Cohen has a lot more to say, and Donald Trump, his days might be numbered.
Well, obviously, Michael Cohen was looking at a huge amount of prison time, and when they started talking about a plea deal is when I started saying, okay, Michael Cohen has been convinced to come up with something that they can use against Donald Trump to save Robert Mueller's face for having come up with absolutely nothing after 18 months and all these millions of dollars. And frankly, I wouldn't believe Michael Cohen. If he told me it was going to be a sunny day, I'd take an umbrella out there.
Well, the thing is, Michael, they have recordings of this.
That's they have the recordings of what?
Of the conversation between Michael Cohen and Donald Trump talking about paying off these two young ladies. You didn't hear the
recording? Well, why do they have to use campaign funds? It's not like Trump needed the money. He's got his own money. And if they knew it was illegal, it doesn't make sense they would have done that. Trump needed all of his campaign money for his campaign. So, the story is suspect. Story is suspect.
Well, that's your opinion. But the fact is, you're right about that. Why would they have to use campaign money to pay off these young ladies? Why couldn't Donald Trump give these ladies a check out of his own pocket or even cash? But Michael Cohen said on a tape, you can't give them cash. We got to use campaign funds. And Donald Trump went along with it. And that's it.
Now, I haven't heard the tape, but if Michael Cohen is the one who made the suggestion, then he's the one who's liable.
Well,
so,
you're right about that, considering that's Donald Trump's lawyer, but Donald Trump should have either gone to another person and got a second opinion. I mean, I'm very
suspicious. Right, he should have.
Yeah. Unless they felt like, we can get away with it, no big thing. And a lot of times people think that way. But the fact that Michael Cohen ratted out Donald Trump, that tells me he's going to be telling a lot more other things.
Yeah, and they're probably going to be basically whatever Robert Mueller comes up with. And Trump is definitely in trouble here.
Right, I would agree with you.
This is just too cute and too convenient for Robert Mueller. They had Michael Cohen by the short and curlies, and they made him a deal. We're going to put you in prison for the rest of your life unless you work with us to get Donald Trump. And that appears to be what's happened. But like I said, I wouldn't believe a word coming out of Cohen's mouth at this point.
But this is the one thing I really don't understand. Why would you even pay off these ladies to begin with?
Well, I agree. I agree with that, but somebody obviously felt that was the best course, especially during the campaign. If Cohen was the one who suggested using campaign funds, then he's the one who's in violation of the law. And you're right, Trump should have gotten a second opinion. But why did Cohen do that?
Right.
this story does not pass the smell test, to be very, very honest.
Michael, do you remember? Michael, do you remember? You made a very good point a while back. You said, isn't this like blackmail where the women were blackmailing Donald Trump? Why didn't he go to the authorities?
Because he wanted to keep it out of the media at a time when the media was trying to basically support Hillary Clinton in her rush for the White House here. But if Michael Cohen is the one who suggested using campaign funds, then he's the one who's in trouble for that. But again, it just doesn't make sense.
Right, and he did
that. He would suggest. Okay, well, I know he pled guilty to that. He's the guilty party. Anyway, we got to let you go, Jim. Got to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder, and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And finally, we're going to get back to some of the news here. This is an interesting story. There is this investigative journalist named Jenny Moore. She was found dead in a suburban Washington, D.C. hotel room a little more than a week ago. And All they're saying is she died of an apparent seizure. The death was not the result of suicide. And apparently her body was found by employees at the Country Inn and Suites by Radisson, Washington, D.C. East in Capitol Heights, Maryland. They're investigating. So far, an autopsy has not been scheduled. Now, Jenny Moore was an advocate who investigated abused and trafficked children and was in the process of investigating allegations by a 26-year-old man that, as a young boy, he was sexually assaulted by Bill Clinton and pimped out at private sex parties attended by other D.C. elites. And the time frame seems to work back to the days of the Franklin scandal. So we have another entry on the dead bodies list here. Judicial Watch is suing the Defense Department on behalf of a whistleblower who lost their security clearance after raising questions about prominent Trump Spygate figure. Now, this is about White House National Security Council Senior Director Adam Lovinger. His security clearance was pulled after he voiced concerns regarding lucrative government contracts awarded to Stephen Halper, who's been identified as being used as an informant by the Obama administration against Trump's campaign, as well as the long-term strategy group, a consulting firm owned by Chelsea Clinton's friend, Jacqueline Neumeier, who got all kinds of access to the Hillary Clinton State Department when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. So, boy, oh boy, the corruption just goes on forever here. The trial of those accused for 9/11 is still going on. It's been a very long time, obviously. And the judge is forbidding the use of FBI interrogations at Guantanamo. And this appears to be related to the concern that a lot of those interrogations were conducted under torture, which we know they were. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was waterboarded over 100 times before he confessed to being the mastermind of 9/11. They even tortured his kids, made him listen. So the judge is out there saying, yeah, let's pull back and see what actual real evidence there is, because this is, after all, a death penalty case. If the accused are convicted, they're facing execution. All right, we're going to take a break here for station identification. We will be right back.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovine.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.